Happy New Year!
Yes, it's 2018. You are with the Breaker Leggers, and we are bringing you our second theatre podcast,
where we talk about publicity. P.T. Barnum famously once said, "There's no such thing as bad publicity." But is this true?
And as it's panto season...
Oh no, it's not!
We have a chat with a panto performer, Aaron Gibson, and we discuss the accessibility of theatre for kids.
Audience etiquette. Is audience behaviour getting worse?
And as usual, theatre openings and closings happening in the month ahead. So listen in to keep your finger
on the theatrical pulse. Love hearing your thoughts and getting your comments, and we'd like to give a shout out to a few people who have done just that over the past month. Maeve Roscoe, thank you so much for your recent comments. You seem to pop up on many of our videos on YouTube, and it's lovely to hear what you're thinking and what you're going to see.
As well as Daniel Fotheringham, who we just released our 2017 Best and Worst Theatre, and boy, Daniel, you left a fantastic comment leaving in detail exactly what theatre you loved, why you loved it, and some wild cards. So thank you for spending the time on those comments.
Yeah, cheers, Dan. Also, The Third Beast, and I hope that's not your given name.
Real name, but that's your YouTube tag, I guess.
Absolutely, who left a really comprehensive comment on our Almeida The Twilight Zone video recently, explaining how you might get more from watching that play itself. So thanks for that,
yeah.
Really useful.
Like, The Third Beast also got a copy of the script, read the script, shared with us bits that had been taken out of the script and put in, and how you can understand the whole concept of the piece if you know Twilight Zone or not. Very interesting thoughts you put out there, Third Beast.
Thank you to everybody. Now, don't forget, you can leave your comments, and the absolute best place to do that is on our YouTube videos. So please get in touch.
Yes, because we have pushed this podcast out on many platforms, YouTube, Podomatic, you can get it on iTunes. But if you want to comment, which we encourage you do, then please leave your comments on YouTube. We always try and respond when we can. So publicity.
Yes. Now, I know it seems to be a bit of a reoccurring theme within our podcast, certainly the last one and now this one. The National, again, in the news, kind of nationally and even internationally, due to a, I suppose we'd call it a break-in.
Yes, this break-in, well, it's not quite a break-in. Now, this chap who has caused this, I think it's an overnight stay, he calls it on his channel, is done by a chap called Ali Laws.
Yeah, Ali is getting a lot of kind of views and publicity for these kind of crazy stunts he pulls, where he'll climb roller coaster towers. He will spend nights in water parks after closing times, or trampoline parks, just to see if he can get away with it. Now, it's important to say they don't damage anything. They're not vandals, but what they are arguably is reckless. And most recently, they got into an open door. I suppose an open door after climbing a few walls at the National Theatre.
Definitely places they shouldn't have been. Like, yeah. That isn't just accessible to the public.
And spent the night in the Fly Tower in the Olivier space.
Now, I have big issues with this already. I guess we could say, what's the link? Where is Ali Laws linked with theatre? But I think the link is that he's broken into a theatre and he has exposed a bit of a weakness, shall we say, insecurity, a lapse in security. We say he's not reckless. Well, no, you said he was reckless. You say he doesn't damage anything, he doesn't cause any harm. But I think the damage is done indirectly. Well, and that's my big problem with this guy.
Yeah, you're right in many respects. He was kind of intervened by a security guard who failed to carry out any checks on him or the people that he was with. And as a result, we believe that security guard has now been fired and lost their jobs. The reason why I think it's actually not a bad thing is it's exposed in a quite light way a security flaw in our theatres, and specifically in the National space, which could, you know, arguably be a target for a much more serious attack. And as a result of exposing this flaw, maybe we have stopped something even worse happening.
I don't know. At what cost? Because the thing is, like, if we're saying from what we understand and kind of what we've picked up, this poor security guard lost his job. Now, I say poor security guard because he did kind of say, you know, who are you? What are you doing? And I'm sure the guy said, and he always said, oh, we're just rehearsing or something to those, to that kind of effect. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And I think then you have so much going on in a repertory theatre with people being on the stage all the time, not necessarily with their ID cards in, for example. How is one security guard supposed to know who is meant to be on the stage and who isn't? And one, plus he was in his high-vis jacket.
So yeah, Ali Law has this idea that you can get away with anything as long as you're wearing a high vis.
And you look as if you're supposed to be there. And his intent then is to hoodwink people to get him into places where he shouldn't be, knowingly. He knows he shouldn't be there, and yet they are recklessly challenging security, etc. But so I guess the point is, has it exposed a massive flaw in theatre security?
I found the video. I mean, I'm a subscriber to Ali Law. I've been watching.
You traitor.
I've been watching his videos for some months, even before this kind of entered our world, the theatre world, because I do find some of the things he sees and gets up to quite interesting. In the instance of the national break-in overnight challenge, it was fascinating to see inside the Olivier flight space. I mean, you was looking. You got to see an area of that theatre that you had never seen. Got to see the set of Follies in this instance from a vantage point that you would never otherwise get to see. Fascinating, I've got to say.
At what cost? I mean, we've been on the National Theatre tour and we have seen, you know, I mean, I guess you get to see a little bit, you go backstage, you go into the auditoriums. There's three fascinating auditoriums, three fascinating theatres, each of them very different. So it's good to see that. But we didn't get to go up into the fly tower. So I can imagine that for an outside observer, that is very interesting. But do you know what? We didn't just get to see the fly towers. They walked across a fly tower bar, which is so reckless and so dangerous. Depending on what type of theatre it is, they are specifically weighted to the lights that are on them. So the whole bar could have come crashing down. I'm sure it's automated in the Olivier space, but it's just complete recklessness. Each of the lights has to be fastened on by like a wing bolt and a nut and then a safety cord. So it's like a lot goes into ensuring the safety of the space for the actors, the people below and those operating it. And I think all of that is just thrown to the wind, and that could be just, oh yeah, well, it could happen, but it didn't. But the guy did hold on to a bar and it dropped, you know, he nearly fell to his death.
I think it's one thing jeopardizing your own safety, but it's one thing potentially putting other actors and other people that work at that space's safety at risk. Had they have got away with it and no one would have known they'd have been in that space until the following day or you know, when the video was released, then they wouldn't have carried out additional safety checks, and as a result maybe something worse could have happened. But like I said, firstly, fascinating, and secondly, maybe this stopped something even worse from happening.
Well, while it did happen, it kind of raised a whole load of publicity.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, that's the thing. The National Theatre is in the national press for, inverted commas, free. And, you know, that sort of publicity is very expensive. You know, have they sold more tickets? Have they drawn more attention to themselves? You know, what do you guys think? Do you think it was a risk? Do you think it's something that's actually paid off in the long run? We're kind of bemoaning and lamenting it because we're wondering how it's going to affect our access to the theatre. We film in the National Theatre quite often when we see shows there, within the backstage areas and within the public spaces as well. And our understanding is, from comments we've read on Twitter and the like, that is becoming more difficult to do now. So maybe this is going to affect us.
Yeah, that's because another vlogger was stopped recently, just shortly after the incident. They were filming in the bookshop, just vlogging into, I think, just a phone camera, perhaps. And they're in the bookshop and they are asked by a member of security to stop filming and asked if they had permission. So I guess on our side, we're worried that, you know, have they tightened up measures? Are we going to be challenged if we set up a little kind of phone to start talking at ourselves? And are we going to be restricted and exiled to the outside of the theatre, which will be a massive shame. Thanks to you, Ali. Lord, if that's the case.
If you've seen the video, let us know. And let us know what thoughts and feelings were stirring you whilst you were watching it. We'd love to hear from you.
So a good friend of ours is Aaron Gibson, who's an actor, and he also works with Imagine Theatre, which is a theatre company that puts on a whole load of pantomimes at Christmas time, and they also have an enormous warehouse and stock of supplies, which Aaron also works at. I was lucky enough to catch up with him just prior to him going over to fulfil his pantomime role, so this is my chat with him.
So I'm delighted to say that I have my good friend Aaron Gibson with me.
Hey!
Aaron, why don't you introduce yourself? Who are you?
Hey, my name is Aaron Gibson, a good friend of Nathan.
That's exactly how I introduced you as well, so I'm glad we both agree on who
you are. Oh, we're so good.
No, you're my friend.
No, you're my friend.
Okay, so as I thought, as it's Christmas, Christmas is obviously pantomime season in the land of theatre.
Hell yeah.
And now you've got quite an interesting insight into what happens in the world of pantomime. Where would you like to start?
I have indeed. So for the past 5 years, I have performed with Imagine Theatre in their pantomimes. But not only do I perform in the pantomimes, I work with them behind the scenes.
Whoa, okay, so this brings to me a whole load of questions. Firstly, who and what is Imagine Theatre? Explain that to me.
Okay, so Imagine Theatre is primarily a pantomime company. Mm-hmm. They also deal in other children's productions as well. They work closely with people like Justin Fletcher, who people would know as Mr. Tumble.
I know Mr. Tumble. Mr. Tumble. The kids love Mr. Tumble.
Yeah, he's ace. Yeah, so they are based in Coventry. They send out around about 13 pantos every single year.
Wow.
And it looks like it's potentially on the increase. So that's a lot of work available for actors.
So what are you going to be doing this Christmas? Are you performing in a panto?
I am performing this year. I will be playing the part of the Genie of the Lamp and the Emperor of Peking.
Okay. And what is it like being involved in an actual pantomime? Because I imagine you actually, is it quite a tight schedule?
Yeah, it's intense. We're working to a professional schedule, so we're looking at a week's rehearsal.
A week's rehearsal,
and then we have a couple of extra days in which we're tying everything together. We're doing a couple of good runs. And then we go into our tech rehearsal, which lasts 2 days. And then we go live.
That sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, it's all day every day, so it's not just a few hours here and there. It's all day every day. You're living, sleeping, breathing it.
That's the thing I always forget about pantomime. In fact, that's something I love, is that it is always usually really current.
Yeah.
Which I think it helps to make it so accessible. Whatever big gags are going on, like, I remember in last year's pantomime, there was a big section on the, is it the Money Supermarket ads?
Yes.
Kind of dressing up in the kind of builder. It's just so current. I'd love to know what it is that the big wigs and big creatives are thinking of putting into this year's pantomime.
Yeah. And a lot of these ideas come kind of last minute and really fresh, and especially if it's something that's happened within that week, we also go, oh, okay, so how can we incorporate this somehow? So then that affects all departments. It's either costume, makeup, you know, and we all have to nestle in and just get on with it. But
topical.
It's great.
So any ideas, you leggers out there listening in, for what do we think would make some good pantomime gags? See if we can get North Korea in there, maybe. Donald Trump. I'm sure there'll be Brexit gags in there for the adults.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's sort of good as well. It's almost like a Pixar is very good at this as well.
Yeah.
Kind of pitching it for the adults and the kids.
Yeah.
The kids love it, and then there's certain things that go over the kids' heads that are specifically for the adults, which you know, it is good, that tongue-in-cheek thing. So what else do you do during the year then towards panto? You say about the costumes?
Yes, so quite recently they've needed a bit of help within the wardrobe department. It just so happens I know how to sew and use a sewing machine, which is always helpful. So what I've been doing recently with them is working with them to get all the costumes ready, prepared, and make things with them as well. So if a panto script comes along and they don't have a costume that directly links within the script, then they have to make it fresh. So it's designed, a pattern is made, it's cut out, and then we all jump together and we put the costume together. And all depending on what it is, like a pantomime dame's costume, on average, would probably take you about a week to put together.
Wow.
Because they're big costumes and they've got a lot of detail. Part of it needs, you know, hand sewing, and the hand sewing is what takes the most time. If it's a machine sew, it's straight through, iron the seam, and it's done.
Now, I'm also interested in your thoughts, because as we're on panto, there was an article on What's On Stage, and the title of this article was, "Why Don't Major Theatres Stage Children's Work All Year Round?" Now, specifically, what it's kind of talking about is come Christmas, panto season, everybody goes to the pantomime in December en masses. It's one of the big things in terms of running a venue. A lot of a venue's money will be made just in those months, 2 months, depending on how long a panto runs for. So it's very lucrative financially. However, what the article goes on to basically say is, why don't we take care of our kids all year round? Why is it just at Christmas? And that there's only a few theatres throughout the country that actually make children their top priority. Whereas there'd be otherwise venues would be lucky if maybe 2-3 times a year maximum, including Christmas, that they'd actually put something on to a kid's audience. It says, I quote, "Children's theatre isn't taken seriously in this country. Full stop." Now, what are your thoughts on that, Mr. Gibson?
That's interesting. I mean, I think when you work within the business, and when you are specifically working with a company that provides for children's shows, and you do see that it goes all year round, that's quite a hard opinion to take. And, you know, I don't necessarily recognise that, but I can understand where people are coming from. But you also have to look at what a child's schedule is. You know, they're going to school every day, they've got a routine, they need to go home to bed and things like that. But then they get the holidays. They get the holidays, Christmas. They get the holidays in the summertime.
Do you know what? I think you've hit the nail on the head. And it's funny because in the summer, for example, in the West End, you do have shows specifically pop up that will last the summer holidays. We've seen a couple of them. Some aren't that great, and they usually occupy a main house theatre, for example, during the day, and then in the evening they'll go back to the main house production. So I guess there is catering to kids, but I guess you're right. Do you know what I mean? Kids can't access the theatre when they're at school. And I'm thinking of it's something, obviously now we've got kids. I mean, well, rather, we do have kids. Not now we have them. We did just acquire them in the last week. We have kids. And something we're always aware of is saying, you know, is it suitable for kids? And it's something you never think of as an adult.
No.
But it's a big thing, you know, and quite often they'll come with age ratings, 10 plus, 12 plus, 16 plus. Love the warnings, because sometimes you can miss a warning as well. Got to say, the Leggers have been to a number of shows where suddenly nudity has popped up, and I'm thinking, was there a warning for this? What if we're here with the kids? But I think it's very true. There are certain restrictions that children have just in the logistics of being able to go to the theatre.
Yeah.
So you can't expect, it's almost like trying to sell Christmas decorations in the summer. No one's going to be interested. There's not a market for it. It's the same. If you can't get to it, why would a venue put it on?
No, exactly. During term time? So it's no wonder that, you know, during term time, you see things advertised like Cougar the Musical. I mean, you're not going to take a kid to see that, are you? It's specifically designed.
Is that a natural musical?
It is, yeah. Musical. I saw it at the Belgrade and it was really entertaining.
Oh, what was it? I thought you just plucked that out of thin air.
No, literally, Cougar the musical. It was really entertaining. But the thing is, you know, girls after work will just go, you know, actually, yeah, let's have a night out tonight at the theatre. They have that flexibility. Kids don't have that. They need routine. They need, you know, a staple lifestyle especially when they're growing up, they've got homework, they've got things for themselves, and parents want to make sure that their kids are doing well within their school hours.
And yeah, and I've got to say, any school that's worth its salt as well will organise trips to the theatre. There is stuff out there for kids.
Of course.
And the article
is.
Does acknowledge that. It says things like Matilda, Wicked, kids show, possibly Harry Potter. I don't know. I guess Harry Potter is a kid's book. Whether you can get kids in to see it, tickets are tricky. But I think definitely like Matilda, the Old Vic had the Lorax as well. What else is out there for kids? Lion King, Disney, Lion King. Aladdin has just opened, which is, we said, basically a glorified pantomime anyway.
But then you look at these shows and you go, well, yeah, and they're going to survive and they're going to last in some respect because they have an audience. Like Aladdin has the 90s audience. So you've got all those adults who love it, and people will go and see it. You know, they're not going to die a death because they're specifically designed for children. Yes, Disney is designed for children, but, you know, adults still appreciate it. So these things will run forever, and the kids will get a chance to see it when they have the time.
And it's not just about kids. Any production company wants an audience.
Yes.
So they know that come summer, what do you have? Kids on summer holiday.
Yeah.
Come Christmas, what do you have? Kids on Christmas holidays. And not only just for kids, but for anything. And that's why a lot of the shows nowadays, which I think we're going to see more and more, it used to be a show, especially in the West End, would run Monday to Saturday, matinees on a Wednesday and a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you started to get Thursday matinees as well, so it wasn't all clashing, so you could stay for a couple of days. But now more and more they're realising, do you know what? People don't work weekends. Why aren't we offering anything on a Sunday? So more and more shows are throwing in a Sunday show. It's just being responsive to your audience, right?
Yeah.
When can we get people to pay their money to put their bum on the seat and enjoy, hopefully, what we're putting on? Well, I've got nothing else to say, Az, apart from thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
I hope that you'll run in... which pantomime is it you're doing again?
Aladdin.
You're in Aladdin, and whereabouts is it?
It's in Halifax at the Victoria Theatre.
Halifax, Aladdin, Victoria Theatre. I hope you have a great time there. If anyone is in the area, please pop by. We'd love to know what you thought of our genie and, what is it, of the ring?
And the Emperor of Peking.
Emperor of Peking and the genie.
The genie of the lamp.
Of the lamp. You see, now that's another thing that confuses me, because there's more than one genie.
No.
Okay.
No, there's one genie.
Okay.
But then you have a spirit of the ring.
Ah, now this is where I'm getting confused, because I'm sure it's a genie of the ring.
No. And this is one of the things which I wish people wouldn't make this mistake.
Does it happen often?
Because a genie has specific powers. They're very powerful powers, and he's most sought after. You know, if the spirit was quite as powerful, it would make her a genie and she'd solve the problems. But she can't, or he can't do that.
But he's still stuck in a lamp, though, isn't he?
No, he's stuck in a ring.
The genie of the spirit of the
ring. Spirit of the ring, okay. Genie of the lamp.
But hang on, no. What's the difference? Because a genie can only grant 3 wishes and then he goes, or she goes, back into the lamp, right? The spirit of the ring... it's got countless power.
Not restricted. She's advisory.
Can't she magic them off to places?
She might be able to see things and do things, but...
So what's the point of the spirit of the ring?
She can't grant, like, the big things.
So what does she do?
She advises.
Because I say she, because it's usually played by females. So I guess it could be... But why? What's the point of that part? If there's no superpower...
Because
apart from having a pyrotechnic.
Yeah, but how else would you know the whereabouts of this lost lamp of all time? There has to be a bridgeway.
So it's like philosophical advisor of what to do to get them on the spiritual path of where to find this mythical lamp. Okay, it's slowly beginning to fall into place. I just thought she was that part was just as powerful as a genie.
Well, I guess
don't
in
they
some
magic
ways,
them
yes.
to places?
Yeah, and in our production, she also guides them or produces a magical, a magic carpet which Aladdin flies on.
So, what else can she produce? Is it just magic carpets? Is that as far as her power goes?
She does say quite clearly, "My powers are limited."
My
powers are limited.
You have to pick from the catalogue. These powers are the ones I can grant you. Anything else, you've got to go to somebody else.
Yeah, pretty much. You've got to go to the big dog.
Cool. Brilliant. Awesome. It's been great chatting with you, Az. And we'll catch you later.
See you anon.
Oh, well, that was lovely. Thank you so much, Aaron, for getting
involved. He's a lovely guy, isn't he?
He's a lovely guy. Also, we'll put a link in the description on YouTube, actually, to a BBC News article, video that he did of a tour of the Imagine Theatre warehouse, which was really, really interesting. So you can see what Aaron looks like and also what the things that he's been talking about and what he gets up to. Well, at Panto, you're encouraged to join in with the action that's on stage, maybe get a bit vocal. But I've noticed recently, and I feel that theatre etiquette is going down the pan.
Now, I know this is a thing that is very personal to us.
I'm very passionate about this.
Very passionate. That's the word I was looking for. Not personal, passionate, because we are avid theatre goers. And blimey, some of the audience etiquette we have encountered has been abominable. We may as well have been at a football match because there's so much noise. I don't know where to start. This is our biggest bugbear.
Yes. Everything, we've seen it all. Everything from putting your feet on the seat in front of you to rustling sweet and crisp packets to full meals coming out of bags.
rolling up of tobacco?
Yeah, we've seen people rolling cigarettes. We've seen...
chatting. Just generally chatting to the person
phone
next to
usage. Throughout, not just before curtain or during the interval. No, just tweet mid-show. Why not? That's certainly the light shining from your phone. It's not going to bother anybody. It bothers me.
However, someone this year took a stand.
Yes. Imelda Staunton, goddess. She performed in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at the Harold Pinter Theatre and basically said, "I will not be going on stage and doing this performance if people are eating in the audience." End of. Wow. What a woman.
Yeah, and as a result, I understand the theatre then banned any kind of candy or eaten objects or anything that could make a noise into the auditorium. They took a stand.
I understand that theatre have got revenue to make. They're a business after all. But, you know, they limited at that theatre snacks and drinks to before the show, during the interval, or stick around afterwards and have a drink then. I'm sure that not a huge amount of money was lost. And personally, I would prefer to pay an extra 50 pence on my ticket price and have an enjoyable theatrical experience than be disturbed and annoyed at my time in the theatre.
Well, that's the thing. It must annoy other people. I mean, we're usually the only ones who speak up. I think the British public is just ever so British. We're
polite.
Ever so polite. You can make as much noise as you want. And sometimes I think the most someone will get is a bit of a stare, a bit of a look. People are afraid to speak their mind, to say, "Excuse me, did you mind just putting that away? I know you're not, Lego Simon."
No.
I fear anyone who dares to cross that line with you.
Well, I used to be very passive-aggressive about it. I would say,
really?
I would say openly, oh, you know, if someone was rustling a sweet packet, I just happened to say, "Oh, did anybody want a sweet?" You know, and then just draw attention to it that way. Those days are gone and my patience has worn thin. If you make unnecessary noise in the theatre around me, I will tell you, you are ruining the experience for everybody.
In a more of a public way. Well, more of a direct way.
Yeah.
I'd say the passive side is gone. So you make a stand. Imelda Staunton made a stand. And also someone else has made a stand in the last month or so.
Yeah, thank you, Nika Burns of NIMAX Theatre. Step in the right direction. NIMAX have said that they are Russell testing all of their kind of in-house snacks and drinks, that if they make any excessive noise, they won't stock them for sale in their venues. Thank you. Definite step in the right direction. I've also seen theatres confiscate outside items of food and drink. There's an argument there. Are they trying to just protect their revenues and forcing you to buy within the theatre? Or are they trying to limit the noise? Either way, I am happy. If you cannot go more than an hour and a half without a snack, should you be in the theatre in the first place? And how do you get through the night? Do you have to wake up and like feeding a small child and feed yourself every hour and a half? I feel positive that you would get through.
That's all you have to say. End
all
of,
I have to full stop. Say.
You see, that's that. You take a very stern point of view. I'm more in the middle.
It puts me off going.
I know it does. And I know that this is why you don't like going to the cinema.
Yeah, I hate going to the cinema. I blame Netflix for this. People don't seem to be able to differentiate being in their own lounge and putting their feet up and stopping the show, to, you know, the movie to go to the toilet or make a drink and just behaving as if there is no one around them, as you would in your own house. They don't seem to be able to change that behaviour when they get into a cinema space and think it's their own personal living room. You're in a public place. Everyone has paid to be there and they deserve to have a good experience. If you are going to ruin it for everybody, wait for the DVD, guys. Stay in.
So there you are. That's Leg of Simons for you. But I guess this kind of comes on 2 points, because what Nika Burns is done basically is said that they're going to limit the amount of noise. But then what we're talking about is, you know, just audiences in general. You should care for the people beside you. You should be aware of the noise you are making yourself and how that is affecting other people. I would be mortified if I thought, you know, if I was making a noise and it was disturbing someone else, that surely then it's just more about the theatre goer and changing the mindset of them, making them aware.
It's also disrespectful for the people that have worked so hard to put that show on for you, because, you know, you cannot be fully invested in what's happening on stage if you are concerned about what is going on in the row beside you. Just please, as a matter of respect, think about what you're doing in the audience and just realise that you aren't on your own.
Yeah, please share with us as well any experiences you have in terms of theatre members ruining the experience for other theatre members. It does seem to vary venue to venue. Almeida Theatre, we usually laugh because come the curtain up time, everyone is silent.
Yeah, regardless if the show's going up on time or not, everyone's just be silent as soon as it's near.
Come 7:30, everyone's silent. Other theatres you go to, I don't want to stereotype, but it's usually big shows. I imagine if it's like Motown the Musical.
Ooh.
Motown Musical, once you get into the dress circle,
that's
not
because
making
we
judgments.
Had a bad experience at Memphis in that theatre, and that was the worst behaviour we've ever seen. People videoing on their phones the performance,
talking.
People coming and going at will, not waiting for the interval to leave to get drinks. Bizarre.
Eating
behavior.
Noisily. It was the worst experience. I think we asked in the interval to be moved, and they moved us somewhere else because it was that bad. And yeah. I'd already left my seat at least once in the first act to complain to an usher to someone who was recording the show, which don't do it, guys. Just for the fact, one, you shouldn't be recording the show, and secondly, because having a big glaring screen
it's
to look
so
down
distracting.
To is so distracting. Just don't do it. That was an awful, awful experience. So it does vary from theatre to theatre, show to show, I imagine.
Now, I'm quite brave. I will report it directly to the person involved and say, you are causing a problem. And if you're not that confident, then just report it in front of house staff. That's fine. I don't know if you saw recently at the Old Vic, somebody tried to tackle a audience member on their bad behaviour and was physically assaulted and scared to leave the theatre for their own safety. I'm sure these people weren't, you know, the full ticket, and I'm sure the people involved in trying to they didn't have very good coping mechanisms. They were probably 3 sheets to the wind with drink. It's intimidating. Not everyone has my confidence. And you know what? There are other ways and means. There's more than one way to skin a cat, guys. So just tell somebody, anybody.
It does vary on the DEFCON we go to. We went to see a production at the Birmingham Rep. Do you remember what it was?
The Exorcist was particularly bad.
The Exorcist was particularly bad. But there's one particular show we went to see. It wasn't The Exorcist. It was another show. And there are some guys behind us who were completely wasted.
Oh, yes.
At first first time, I think the key thing here is, guys, if you are going to address it, be aware of the stages. First thing we did was we addressed it with the individuals. We said, guys, you're making so much noise. We can hear you from two rows in front. I actually had to get up and lean across a row and a half in order to talk to them and say that. That didn't work. So we knew doing the same thing was worthless. So I think the next stage was going to find a member of staff, which is what you did. You went over and said, look, this is what's going on. Next thing we know, there's a security guard sitting
with them,
kind of observing what they were doing. And they kind of decreased half of what they were doing. I think they only lasted another 15, 20 minutes. And then the security guard escorted them out, having witnessed firsthand what they were doing and having the authority to be able to make them leave the venue. So as we say, do be careful if you do decide to tackle any of these things.
Safety first. But remember, who is it that famously said, all it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing?
Evil.
So just do something.
Evil.
It is evil. I mean, sorry. The theatre is our lives, and for me, I'm personally aggrieved if you spoil that experience for me.
Yeah. One last thing on this then. We went to see 101 Dalmatians, again at the Birmingham Rep, and that audience was awful. And I've never seen it so bad. And then we went to pantomime at the Nottingham Playhouse, and that audience was fantastic. And yet, I mean, they were still shouting and responding to the right moments, but there was none of that rustling of sweets, and there were kids in the audience. Why is it different from one town to the next?
Yeah. Must say that whilst we didn't cover the Nottingham Playhouse as the Leggers, it's Cinderella this year, and it is a real joy. If you're in that area or you can travel to Nottingham, then please go and see that at the Playhouse. It's a beautiful show with, as far as we can see, a very well-behaved audience, a fantastic cast and a lovely, lovely place to be.
Yes, we're going to be back at the Nottingham Playhouse this year as well to see The Madness of King George starring Mark Gatiss. They've got a new artistic director. So potentially... Adam Penford. So potentially some really nice, interesting changes going on. So it'll be good to keep an eye on that. It's a new year, some new beginnings, and also some fond farewells. So it is our openings and closings.
Yep, opening on the 9th of January is a brand new production of Harold Pinter's The Birthday Party, starring, well, great cast for this, Zoe Wanamaker and Pearl Mackie from Doctor Who. She's in it too. Some great names in that. We're not yet booked to see it, but I'm hoping we'll catch it some point in its limited run. Also, coming back in is Amadeus at the National. It was a brilliant show. Please check out our review for that. That's reopening in the Olivier space on the 11th and is an absolute treat. Lady Windermere's Fan, directed by the fabulous Kathy Burke, is opening at the Vaudeville in an Oscar Wilde season. They've just had one show, I think, A Woman of No Importance, and now going on to Lady Windermere's Fan with Jennifer Saunders in the cast. Mm-hmm. And also another kind of old favourite, well, for us anyway, as we saw it early in 2017, Mary Stuart is opening on the 15th at the Duke of York's Theatre, starring the amazing Leo Williams and Juliet Stevenson. Get a ticket, guys. That was a five legs from us.
So that is theatre openings. What have we got that's closing in the West End?
It's Bye Bye to Follies on the 3rd of January after a sellout run and an NT Live performance as well. So if you can, now's the time to see that. You've only a couple of days to go. An American in Paris, another five legs from us. That's closing on the 6th of January, prematurely in our eyes. We loved that musical.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Beautiful show. Not so worried about Heisenberg, the uncertainty principle, ducking out.
Simon Stevens, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's such a shame. Directed by Marianne Elliott, had every element of a fantastic show, but let down by a poor script. Simon, we love you, but sorry, not good.
Good cast as well, isn't it? Anne-Marie Duff and Kenneth... Branham.
Yeah. And also Ink, also on the 6th, there's a bit of a massacre on the 6th in the West End. James Graham's play about the rise of the Sun newspaper. Also brilliant. Closing very, very soon.
So there we are. That's our second podcast. Please let us know what you think about any of the issues that we have been talking about.
Yeah, let us know what you'd like to see us covering in upcoming podcasts as well. We're always happy to take ideas from you.
Yes, we love discussing, just talking in general. So if you have a discussion point or a question you want to pose to us, then pop it down in the comments below.
We'd love to hear from you. We're the Breaker Leggers, and we'll catch you again soon.
Bye.